Welcome to Cultimatum, the podcast that delves deep into the culture of complexities of cults and human trafficking. I'm your host, Anonymous Andrew. Each week, we explore different facets of cult life and human trafficking, from the psychological manipulation to the brave stories of those who have escaped.
Hello, everyone. I'm Melody. I'm Andrew's co-host. Having experienced the depth of a cult firsthand, specifically the House of Yahweh, I'm here as an advocate for fellow survivors. My journey has inspired me to help others who find themselves in similar situations. This podcast is committed to respecting our guests' privacy to ensure their comfort and safety. We offer them the option to remain anonymous.
Additionally, we would like to include a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by our hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Cultimatum or its affiliates. Cultimatum is not responsible and does not verify for accuracy any of the information shared by our hosts and guests. The content discussed on this podcast is based on personal experiences, opinions, and speculation, and should not be construed as professional services or advice. Neither the host nor the guest are assuming liability for any misuse or reliance on the information presented. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and listeners are encouraged to conduct their own research and seek professional advice where appropriate.
Before we dive into today's episode, we want to issue a trigger warning. Some episodes may explore explicit and potentially disturbing topics such as sexual abuse, rape, human trafficking, suicide, and other sensitive subjects. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Cultimatum, the culture of cults and human trafficking. And my name is Anonymous Andrew, and with me tonight is Melody. Hello, Melody.
Hi, Andrew. We have an interesting guest. We've got, I think it's our fourth Jehovah's Witness. So we haven't had one in a while. So we're excited to have a Jehovah's Witness back here again to share another story with us. And Josh, welcome to the show. We're excited to hear your experience.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome. Okay, where would you like to start?
I mean, I'm happy to share a little bit of my experience. I know, like you said, you guys have had Jehovah's Witnesses on before. Actually, I think before we jump in, I do want to address the fact that I am not using my real name. And I think it's something Certainly. That's important for other people to hear as well. Because I think everyone's journey out of whatever cult or religion or anything like that is going to look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And for me, I really wanted to, like, I'm the type of person who, like, when I learn something, I want to help other people. And so that's how me and Melody and I got connected, was on social media, because I post about all this stuff. And I was like, I really want to help other people. I want to talk about this. But as I'll get into in a little bit, it's a little bit more complicated than that, right?
Right.
Because I wrote a book and all of this stuff, and it was like, how do I do this? How do I help other people, even though I'm not ready for everyone in my life to know that this is what I'm doing? And so I'm putting it out there because I want other people to know that, like, everyone's journey looks different. I've gotten some criticism from other people in, like, the ex-JW community, or even just, you know, really any cult community, that, you know, for not using my actual name. And I felt a little bit of guilt myself over it too, because sometimes you feel like, oh, well, if I'm completely, you know, I'm completely moved on from this, then I should be able to be open about it. But I think it's important everyone knows, like, everyone's journey looks different, and it's okay. However you decide to go about leaving, like, that's, everyone's journey is going to look different. That's okay. Well, you know?
Hey, Josh, I completely understand. And I'm a little upset that anybody would judge you for that. You know, I'm in AA, which is called, short for Alcoholics Anonymous. And people who are alcoholics, they don't want to, there are a lot of us that I proudly admit that I am. But the whole concept behind that is anonymity, right? So, like you said, it's a journey that you're on, and it's your journey, and it's, you should be able to choose how you identify yourself in that journey. That's sure. My goodness. I can't believe people would actually shame you for that.
Well, you know what it is too? I think part of it is, kind of the nature of what I'm doing. And like the nature of like leaving a religion like this is that like, you're not allowed to leave. Okay. And in the sense of like, if you leave, your whole family's going to cut you off, all this stuff. So there's a lot of other people who are in the XJW community who don't trust other people because they're afraid that they're going to be outed. And so approaching things from, and then although they will remain anonymous, for me, because I'm going out there, I'm like putting myself out there and I'm posting stuff and I'm, you know, writing a book. There's definitely people who are like, are you secretly snooping to try to get us outed or something? I'm like, man, yeah. If you read my book, you'll know that's definitely not the case. But
that's their paranoia or their own guilt or shame.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm just going to add.
I don't shame you.
No. And I agree 100%. And I'm just going to add that we actually give our guests that option to be anonymous for exactly the reason you're talking about. Sometimes coming from these controlling groups and these cults. And one of the things is that when we're in these controlling groups, we're very controlled and everything we do is controlled. And it can be very scary to come forward and tell your story, even when you want to, and you want to expose the group and you want to expose the truth. It can be a very scary thing to do. So I completely understand why not everybody. I mean, we've had other guests not use their real names. So that is, you're not the first one to come on here and go under an anonymous name. So I say 100%, I'm with you. Everybody's journey is different.
And last week I altered somebody's voice. So not only did we change his name, but we changed his voice. So it.
Wow.
Yeah. So Josh, you're welcome. And please tell us your story. And
so when I was born, my parents were already Jehovah's Witnesses. They were already involved in the religion.
Okay.
So I was raised in it myself. If you know the type of person I am, I'm always like 100% in, like with whatever I'm doing, which is kind of, you can see now, right? Like now that I don't believe it, I'm like, okay, well now I got to do something about it, right? Like posting and writing a book. But that's how I was when I was in it. Like I was 100% in. They have like different, I guess you could call it like different programs for people who are Jehovah's Witnesses who want to do more. And I was always involved in that stuff. I was always volunteering to do more. I was always volunteering to like just be involved as much as I could. And quite honestly, I was like that until maybe just 2020. Like that was like my whole life, first 30 years of my life. I was like all in on it. But, and I'm assuming neither of you guys have read my book, right?
No, I have not.
Okay, gotcha.
No.
So, because I talk a lot about my story in the book, and I think a lot of the readers would appreciate it too, but there was just so much that happened. But like, so when I was a kid, maybe when I was 10 or 11 years old, my dad decided to leave the religion. And part of it was because him and my mom were having issues, but the other part of it was because he just didn't agree with a lot of it anymore. And I know you guys have had Jehovah's Witnesses on before, so you probably know this, but basically, you know, if you decide to leave, if you no longer want to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses, they do something called disfellowshipping, where they make an announcement and everyone knows. It's kind of funny because it used to be so-and-so is disfellowshipped. Now they changed it to so-and-so is no longer one of Jehovah's Witnesses because they were probably getting sued or something like that about, like, you know, people cutting people out of, you know, their lives and stuff. But anyway, they make those announcements. So that happened when I was a kid. My dad decided to leave. He was disfellowshipped, and it led to just this whole complicated relationship with my dad, where as a kid, obviously, I still wanted to have him in my life. But then, you know, I have all these people around me essentially telling me that it's wrong, that he's bad, all of this stuff. So that was when I was, like I said, maybe 10 or 11. And then as I got married when I was like 19 years old, which is not uncommon because there's no sex before marriage. So of course, if you're going to get married or if you want to have sex, you got to get married, you know? So I got married when I was 19, and there was a series of problems after that where, yeah, it's kind of funny because I guess I'll just go into it. But my ex-wife, it was less than a year after we got married. Her brother committed suicide. And then a month later, her dad committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I'm sorry, maybe I'm not, I realize now, maybe I'm not saying that right. I believe you're supposed to say died by suicide. So I'll say that. They died by suicide within a month of each other. And, you know, I was at this time, I was, what, 20 years old. And yeah, it was so complicated. And I've learned a lot from it. I'm very far removed from it now. That was, what, 2012, right? So this was a long time ago now.
Right.
But that was, you know, a lot of what had happened. And I mean, now, fast forward to now, like I'm married, I'm remarried. And because we ended up getting divorced, I'm remarried, super happy, like just doing amazing. But there's that, I just want to give people like, here's kind of like the basics of the story. This is kind of what happened. And obviously there's way more details in the book of why those things happened and what transpired before and after and all of that.
And Josh, I'm assuming that they were JW or had left.
Yeah, it's a good question. So yeah, it's, you know, obviously I feel like with everything with this religion, it's complicated because you have some people who are Jehovah's Witnesses that are all in, right? And then you have some people that are Jehovah's Witnesses that are kind of floating around the edges. And then you have some people who have been around for a long time, but they never fully committed themselves to the religion. So they're technically not, you know, baptized Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're all involved. And that everyone in her family was kind of in different stages of that. Mm. She was a baptized Jehovah's Witness all in. Her dad was as well, but he had, you know, he had alcohol problems. He had, like prescription drug problems. Mm. And then her brother was, I don't think he was ever baptized. And she had two other siblings as well. And I don't think they were ever baptized either, but they were all varying ages, like from, let's say, 12 to 20 around that time.
It's like they had one foot in, one foot out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When you find that that happens a lot in this religion, like people tend to live double lives, actually to the point that it's something that's talked about from like from the top. They talk about people not live in like what to do to not live a double life, because people really do that because there's so much pressure to like to follow all of these rules. And it's basically you're all in or you're all out. Right. And so people don't want to be all out because their families are involved and all of those things. And so because of that, they tend to like, it's just like any human being, right? There's things that you want to do. There's natural things you want to do. And you end up living this kind of double life where you do things you want, but also at the same time, like in front of other people, put on this facade.
And I'm just going to add here, a lot of people don't know this, but there's actually a term for this. They call it PIMO, which means physically in, mentally out. And a lot of people in a cult situation go through that period of time where they're in what they call PIMO. We have not discussed this term before, so this is probably new to Andrew. But there is that time period when you're transitioning yourself out of that situation where that's what they call it, PIMO, when you're physically in but mentally out.
Yeah. Well, I would actually say, so here's what's interesting about that. I never knew about that term until I was leaving. And the reason is because I think there are actually two different steps. So what I found is that you have people who, let's say that it's two different versions of the same thing. Okay. Cause you have some people who are in and believe, but then maybe secretly they're sinning, right? They're secretly doing things that they feel like they're not supposed to do, but they feel guilty about it, but they still believe it. PIMO is what I would say someone who is secretly doing those things, but doesn't believe it, right? Because that's what it stands for, physically in, mentally out. They're mentally like checked out. They don't believe it anymore, but maybe they're still keeping it going because they don't want their family to cut them off. They don't want to be disfellowshipped, things like that. So I would just draw a delineating line there.
Right. And sometimes it's just because you physically haven't figured out how to get out of the situation. Go ahead, Andrew.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's uncanny how, as I'm listening to Josh and you, Melody, and over the many episodes we have done, you know, I grew up Roman Catholic and strict in the sense where you could, not like JW, but they had their strict rule. Like you mentioned something before about not having sex before marriage. Well, that's what we were taught, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church. Even masturbation was a sin, you know, so... But looking around and seeing what people were doing, it's very similar. You know, so there were Roman Catholics that were they had 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And or like you said, they had the facade. They were at church every Sunday. They looked good. The family had that facade. But, you know, there were affairs going on or abuse or alcoholism, or, you know, all that stuff. So
totally, totally. Yeah. I think the biggest difference is, like with Jehovah's Witnesses, is the stakes, right? Like if you, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? Because I wasn't raised that way. But if you were raised Catholic, if you, you know, were found masturbating or you slept with a girl, like your family's not going to cut you off for the rest.
No. Exactly. The consequence, you're right. The consequences were not anywhere near severe as what you went through and what people in cults go through.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
A lot of times they brush it under the rug. Yeah. You have to go to confession and atone for your sins. Yeah.
But exactly. I can relate to what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. All I was going to say was, I don't mean to downplay anyone else's experience. I just want to, like, I think it's important to draw a line between, like, okay, what is, you know, a religion versus what is a cult, and like what pushes something into the direction on that spectrum to being a cult versus just being a religion. And I will say too, you know, I think even, you know, to respect people's beliefs as well, but I do believe that religions are really just kind of bigger and longer extended versions of cults that kind of became more more mainstream. But again, I do believe it's a spectrum. And I think that there's like a healthy way that we can all respect each other's beliefs. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there is stuff that's just straight up, this is a cult, this is harmful, you know?
Right. I was going to say, I can relate to this because I was officially, with a letter, excommunicated from my cult. I actually just posted that on our group, my official letter on the Cultimatum podcast Facebook group yesterday, just for anybody who might be curious, because the stakes are higher when you get that excommunication, disfellowship, shunning. That does make it a lot more complicated because that group becomes your whole world. And basically then when you're leaving, you're giving up all of your friends and family that are involved in that group, and you really got to start over. And that's high stakes.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, you know, it's very true. Well, and part of it, you know, it's, so I go back and forth on whether or not the people at the top are doing this on purpose or not, but regardless of whether they are or not, the consequences are there of it being high control. And one of the things that they do is, you know, they essentially teach you to other everyone else, right? Everybody who's not in the religion is, you know, not going to live forever. They're not going to be saved. And so because of that, they encourage you, like, everything that you do, to do it with other Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Friendships, Jehovah's Witnesses. Marriage, Jehovah's Witnesses. People, even people you work with, like, try to work with Jehovah's Witnesses because you want to avoid this, what they call worldly influence. And so again, whether it's on purpose or not, what that does is trap you, right? Because you get to a point where, like, if you question it and you're like, oh, I don't know if I believe this anymore. Well, if you get kicked out, your entire network, everything, your friends, your family, and sometimes even your work is tied up in this group. And so it's like, well, what happens if I decide to leave? What happens if I, you know, if all these people cut me off, you know?
Well, I think it's intentional, and I'll tell you that the reason I think it's intentional is because every group does it. It is a pattern. All these cults, so many of these cults, very few of them don't. Very few of them don't. And I think it is by design. I think that they are trying to make it so that it's more difficult to leave, and that there's a lot more at stake, so you're less likely to leave. Now you're too invested to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you there. I'm not sure it is on purpose, but I will say that I can understand why someone would think so. It's funny. I was listening to one of the other episodes that you guys had, and it was like, everybody thinks theirs is the truth, right? That theirs is the real religion or whatever it is. And that's the case. I will say, like, I think that's probably the thing that makes me feel like, well, maybe they're not doing it on purpose, is because you talk to some of these people in it and they really believe it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I lived the first 30 years of my life fully believing this. And so, and also I will say too, because for people who don't know, like, the guys at the top, it's not like these are the guys that have always been at the top. It's like a rotating group of guys that they kind of like appoint new ones over time. And so that's why, part of the reason why I say, look, I don't know, is this on purpose? Is it not? because you start to think like, well, maybe in the beginning it was, or maybe in the beginning it wasn't and it transitioned, but how is it, you know, it continues to be carried over with these different, with these new guys that come in. And you would think that someone with a conscience would come in and be like, guys, this isn't right, you know? And because quite honestly, the people, this is what I found, okay? My experience being raised in that religion, like I don't... So the title of my book is Jehovah's Fucking Witnesses. And so I think sometimes it gives the impression that I hate them. I don't. Okay. I have people in my immediate family that are still Jehovah's Witnesses that I love to death. And that's part of the reason why I do this anonymously. Right. But what I'm saying this to say that like, I would say 99% of the people that I met who were Jehovah's Witnesses really believed it, even all the way up, right? You go from like just the average person who attends the Kingdom Hall to the person who maybe has, you know, what they call a little bit of privileges around the Kingdom Hall. And then you have the elders in the Kingdom Hall, like, and then they have circuit overseers, like regional, right? Basically, like it just continues to go. But all these people that I've met, like I said, 99% of them, I feel like they really believe it and they're trying to just be good people. And so that's part of where I struggle with is like, okay, where does that happen? Like, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, or if it's just, they believe this so much that because if you think about it, if you really did believe that this is like the only way that you're going to live forever and these other people are a bad influence, like you would act like that. You know what I mean? Like right. That's part of the reason why Jehovah's Witnesses do it is because that's what they believe. And so that's where I go back and forth on it. But either way, regardless of whether it's on purpose or not, it's harmful.
Right. Exactly. Well,
Josh, let me ask you, you said you were married at 19 and I think you said the marriage lasted a year.
It lasted about 2 years, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause it was 2011 and then 2013 was when it got.
What point, was there a switch that just went off in your head that said, I don't believe this anymore? Like one day you just woke up and said, I'm done? Or was it a slow boil?
Well, so this is the part that's crazy. It wasn't in 2012 that happened where I left. This was in 2020. So like, despite all of this stuff that happened, that was actually part of the reason why my first wife and I got divorced was because she didn't believe it anymore. And, you know, to be honest, there's a part of me that's a little bit jealous that I'm like, why was I so fucking hard-headed that it didn't wake me up in that moment, but it woke her up, right? For her, when this stuff happened with her brother and her dad, she drew the line and she was like, I don't believe this anymore. I'm done. But that was what prompted me to say, well, then I'm done with this relationship. And that was when we ended up getting divorced. But if you want to know about me waking up, that was in 2020. Okay, so Jehovah's Witnesses, they have weekly meetings, right? And they will meet during like on a weekday evening, and then they meet on the weekend. But they also have like, you know, the ministry where they go door to door and all that stuff. So your whole life is kind of wrapped up in this. In 2020, during COVID, they had everything on Zoom. And so people weren't going to the Kingdom Hall. They weren't going out, you know, the ministry. And I firmly believe that that was when, like, that was what prompted us to start questioning things, because we didn't have this constant indoctrination. And even though we were attending the meetings on Zoom, it was on Zoom. And so we didn't really have to pay as much attention, right? Like, my wife and I always talk about this, where like we were totally paying attention in the beginning. And they even encouraged us to still dress up, right? Like when Jehovah's Witnesses go to the Kingdom Hall, they wear like a suit and tie and all this stuff. So like we were at home in like a suit and tie on Zoom. And then eventually it was kind of like, well, maybe we don't need to dress up as much. Let's turn our video off and just listen. And then after a while, you're not paying attention. You're on your phone, because you could never do that, right, in the Kingdom Hall. So we're on our phone. We're not paying as much attention. Eventually it got to a point where I was like, gosh, this is so boring. Let's just put the laptop in another room. So we would log on because we didn't want to get in trouble, because we didn't want people to think we weren't going. So it looked like we were there, but we would just put it in another room. And anyway, I'm saying all this to say that like it just gave us room. It gave us room to breathe and like to just start thinking for ourselves, instead of constantly having this, you know, indoctrination just being like pounded into our heads. And I think that was when I started to question things.
Do you know if that created a big portion of the members to start questioning and leave, because you are not the first person I've heard say that COVID did this to them, specifically with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I do think there is something to stepping outside of that echo chamber. Do you know about other numbers?
Oh, totally. So I don't have specific numbers, but I will say that there is an XJW subreddit that I was a part of, and I know that they had like a massive jump in membership during that time. And I mean, it only makes sense. I've talked to other XJWs who I've connected with, and they say the same thing. It was like, oh yeah, it was during COVID where, you know, they started, like I said, you know, you kind of have this opportunity to just breathe and start thinking. And oh man, it's complicated. But I've also seen people, like there were people that I knew during 2020, during COVID, that I was like, I was further along and I'm watching them. I'm like, that person's going to wake up. I can tell, like, I can tell they're kind of like at this teetering point. And then they said, okay, we're going back to in-person at the Kingdom Hall. And then I saw those people turn around again and get like super zealous and super back into it. I was like, damn it, they were so close.
Oh man.
Yeah. But I will say that was the case. So for me after that, it was like, okay. So ever since I was a kid, I've always been super like inquisitive. Like I would just annoy the shit out of my mom, always asking questions and like wanting to understand stuff and like digging and prying. And one of the things that, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses do, I mean, just like really any other cult, right, is just to shut that down. And what I will say that Jehovah's Witnesses do is actually like redirect it. They're like, yeah, you need to do your own research. But then they're like, but you have to use our books. Right. Yep. So they make you feel like, oh, yeah, I did the research. I totally did the research. When in reality, it's like, okay, yeah, you did the research, but only with the information they gave you. So,
right.
And then if you question beyond that, that's where it starts to become a problem. And so for me, I just like, it was against my nature, like to just not question things. And so in 2020, for me, what ended up happening when I had this breathing room was like, okay. I'm not saying I don't believe this anymore, but like, is it possible? Like, is there a slight chance that something they're saying could be wrong? And if there is, like, well, I mean, let me just like, what's the harm in looking, right? Because if it's the truth, then it's fine. If it's not, then I want to know.
And I love that, Josh, because that is leaving the door open for critical thinking. And that we try to encourage that on this show all the time about telling people just to consider that possibility that you might be wrong is leaving you open to that critical thinking. And like you said, then you, what harm is it to do research if you so fervently believe your religion or your beliefs? What's the harm in going to prove it right or wrong? If you believe it's going to prove it right, you're not doing any harm.
Exactly. And that's the part of the thing that they discourage, unfortunately. But what I found, yeah, I mean, look, there's still people in my life that I wish I could pull out of it.
Right.
But that's the way that I approach it with them. It's like, look, I'm not saying you have to change your beliefs. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I'm not even saying you're wrong. I'm just like, isn't it possible? Like, is it completely impossible? You know? And when you kind of just approach it from this angle of like, I'm not trying to change you. I just like, is there any sort of possibility? It's like, okay, well, it's not unreasonable to think that maybe there is some possibility that something is wrong because they've changed their beliefs as well. That's another thing that they, every so often they kind of like revise things and they're like, oh, we were wrong about this. Look at this verse that, you know, says X, Y, Z, and now we changed it. Anyway, I know we got a little bit off track. You were talking about like what woke me up. So for me, I went through this process of like, okay, is it possible that some of this stuff doesn't make sense? Like, let me look at it. And there were certain beliefs that ultimately, like, you know, it's just kind of like the common things that you think of that just didn't really make sense to me. Like, you see it all the time, but like, you know, God sacrificed himself to himself. You're like, yeah, I don't get that. That doesn't like, if like once you give yourself permission to like actually question things, you're like, yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They really believe that God and Jesus are two separate beings. But to me, that's even more so the case. Like, on what planet does that make sense? Like, somebody does you wrong, and then the way that you forgive your kids is by killing your own kid, like, I don't know, it or letting your child die. It just, there were a lot of things that just didn't make sense. And I got to a point where I just allowed myself to ask the questions. That's it. I'm like, I'm just giving myself permission to actually question this stuff. Eventually, what happened was I got to a point, I had mentioned this to you guys, that my dad was disfellowshipped from the religion when I was like 12. So I had this kind of on again, off again relationship with him. And it was complicated because, of course, I loved my dad and I wanted to spend time with him and talk to him. But I also felt guilty every time I would. At this point, when I started questioning things, I started talking to my dad again and just talking to him about the things I was questioning. And basically, my dad was, he still is, he works in construction. And it was in December of 2020. This was when I had just, like, literally like a month or two started talking to him again. He had an accident at work. And basically, they called me and they were like, he's in the hospital. He's not going to live. And if he does live, he's not going to be the same person. Because essentially, he fell from like a height and like the entire left side of his skull was shattered. So for me, that was the moment where I was like, fuck this, right? Like I had already started questioning, but that was the moment that was just like the nail in the coffin. I was like, nobody is ever going to fucking tell me that I can't have a relationship with someone that I love ever again. Mm. Now, the good thing is that like, none of that happened. My dad didn't die. He's totally fine now. He made 100% recovery. We have an amazing relationship. Like I can't tell you how grateful I am because
I'm grateful.
In that
I
moment,
I just heard the story and I was like, oh no, he lost his dad. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely like, you know, a sigh of relief, but like that's that for me was the moment where I knew I was done. You know, it didn't mean that I'm 100% out. Right. In the sense of like, you know, coming out and having everyone knowing. But that for me was the moment where I was like, I'm never going back to this. And like I said, it kind of is like a, you know, happy ending. My dad and I have a great relationship. Yeah. He recovered. Like if you met him now, like you would have no idea that he was in an accident like that. He literally remembers up to like the moment before he fell too. So it's not like he didn't lose any like, wow, you know, cognitive abilities or memory or anything.
I'm gonna be how do I ask this question or make this statement? If I was I won't use JW. If I was a cult member that didn't believe in medicine, which there are a lot of cults that do not believe in Western medicine, right? You can't bring them to the. I can't even cite one right now, but there are cults that you can't like the. I think the Amish maybe. I don't know. He met a miraculous recovery. Your dad, so. As a cult member, I would say that God saved him. You see where I'm going here?
So, yeah, totally.
But yet, you took that and decided, you literally said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Well, I don't know, but I'm thinking that, for one thing, I know that JWs don't believe in blood transfusions. And so under their beliefs, mm-hmm. if his dad had needed blood at that moment, under the teaching of Jehovah's Witness, he would have, oh, sorry, no blood for you. You have to die. Sacrifice your life for Jehovah. Whereas I'm sure that was what along the lines of Josh was thinking at this point is that I already sacrificed too much of my relationship with my dad, and now I might be losing him forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to sacrifice one more minute. I'm not going to lose one more minute with my dad if he can survive this any way possible with whatever modern medicine needed. Josh, am I understanding where you're coming from?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. So here's what I would say is that in that moment, like when I first found out, right? When they told me he's not going to make it. If he is, he's not going to be the same person. That was the moment that I said, I'm done with this. Now, I could see how afterwards, after he made, you know, I would agree with you, miraculous recovery, that someone could have considered that. But the reason why that wouldn't be the case is, first of all, my dad is disfellowshipped. So
right.
It makes sense that God would, you know, help that person, number one.
Right, right.
And number two, he did have to take blood, right? And so had he took blood. So not only was he disfellowshipped, but he also needed blood, and that saved his life. Like, there's just no way that was God, right?
Because gotcha.
Right.
Thank you. That's the answer I was looking for. Thank you.
No.
That's
the answer. That gives us clarification.
It's a good point.
Yeah, no, that gives us a lot of clarification and the listeners a lot of clarification on your frame of mind at that point in time. So,
sure.
Because I went
I went through something similar with all the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. And again, I'm not trying to compare JW and the Catholic Church. I'm just my experience over the, you know, I'm 60 now. So over the last 60 years, for the first 20, it was drilled into me about God and all the teachings. Like we talked about earlier, no sex before marriage and no abortion and all this stuff. When I was in my 20s, I just left all of that, even disbelieving God. I said, I went from a Roman Catholic to an atheist. Where I'm going to go with this is to find out where you're at now in your faith. But I left. And then for years, I disowned God. Like, there was no God. If I even saw a God with a capital G, I would. Anyway, and it wasn't until I became a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, because in there you need a higher power, yada, yada. And I needed to find a higher power. And I'm not going to get into that right now. But I do have a God in my life today, but it's a small G. And it's not the Roman, it's not a church God. It's sure. God of my understanding. Where are you today with your belief in a higher power?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it actually makes me think of something Melody said before, was about being open to being wrong. So I'll preface it with that by saying, like, I am always open to being wrong about what I believe, especially after being raised in this way where it's like, this is it 100%. For me, I feel like part of my purpose in life is to learn. And I feel like that was held back from me for, you know, the first 30 years of my life. And I refuse to live that way ever again. And so for me, I'm always open to being wrong. But that being said, the progression that I went along, and I will say that it happened very quickly for me, was I went from being all in as a Jehovah's Witness, no longer believing it, believing that the idea of God was stupid and being, you know, whatever about it, to very quickly getting to a point where, okay, yeah, I don't believe in the typical, you know, description of a God, but also, damn it, there are some coincidences that I can't fucking explain.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and so, so I say that because, let me rewind a little bit. So as a Jehovah's Witness, someone who was like all in 100%, like totally believed it, there were times where I felt like I prayed for something. And there was some, it worked out in some crazy way and my prayer was answered, right? And I thought, oh my gosh, that's Jehovah. That's amazing, right? And so leaving, I go, well, what was that? Like, how did, was that just, you know, my reticular activating system? Was that just me looking for it? Am I, you know, looking for, you know, if you look for it, you find it kind of thing. And I got to a point after, right, that I no longer believed any of this. I wrote my book, Jehovah's Fucking Witnesses, right? Like, clearly, if Jehovah's real, he's not answering my prayers anymore. But some of that stuff would still happen, right? Like, I would set like a really strong intention about something I wanted, and I would journal about it, and I would, you know, spend time thinking, and then it would work out in this crazy way. And I go, what is happening there? I'm so confused, right? And in talking to other people, and this was something I could never reconcile when I was a Jehovah's Witness, was other people in other religions, completely unrelated to, okay, let's not just talking about Christian religions, just beliefs across the board. People believing that theirs is the truth and the real thing, and their evidence being, well, I prayed about this, or look at the way this worked out, and my prayers were answered, or whatever. And so I've kind of come to this theory, and I don't, you know, there's probably some holes in it, but my theory is that it's something without a personality. And I say this because this was part of the discussions I've had with my dad, because he left the religion, but he still believes in God. And I've said things to him like, look, I'm your son, right? Like, even if you knew I was going to benefit from, let's say, some sort of bad experience, like just terrible experience, right? Like, would you still want me to go through it if you had the ability to like stop it from happening? Like, and I'm not talking like, oh, it's, you know, bills are tight this month. I'm not talking about that. Right. I'm saying like people I know, you know, being raped or being, you know, they're in an abusive relationship and almost dying, right? That's what I'm talking about. Like if you had the power to prevent that from happening, regardless of whether or not you thought I was going to be a better person at the end of it, would you not intervene? Like, would you not? And he goes, well, no, of course I would. I'm like, okay, so then we can't sit here and say that like it's that same argument, right? About all powerful, all loving, and
all knowing,
right? I don't know, you guys have probably heard this argument before about God, right? If God is all loving, all powerful, and all knowing, then there's certain things that can't happen. Like it really can only be two of those things. Anyway, I've had those conversations with my dad, and for me, like it brought me to this concept that, okay, maybe it's not a being with a personality who knows right from wrong, but maybe it's something more like Wi-Fi. And I say it like this because if I log onto the internet and let's say where I live, it's, you know, Comcast or something like that, right? And I go, oh my gosh, look at this internet. Comcast is amazing. Oh my gosh, Comcast. And somebody in some other part of the country, you know, has a different internet. I forget what some of them were called. Like
Spectrum.
Spectrum.
Oh, Spectrum. Yeah, exactly. Someone logs onto their internet and they go, Spectrum. Oh my gosh, look at this. Look at, I have the internet. Spectrum. And so you have people who are accessing the same thing. They're getting similar results, but they're sitting there and they're putting their stakes in the ground and go, it's Comcast or it's Spectrum. When in reality, it's all just Wi-Fi. And if you simply know how to tap into it, you can get the results from it, right? And that's kind of how I look at it, because I've seen certain results in my life that other people would say is attributed to what they believe. You know, oh, that's because I believe in this God or whatever, or this religion. And for me, I'm like, if we're all experiencing it, then maybe there is something to it. And maybe it's not just what you believe. Maybe that it's something that is, like I said, not, it's, I don't know what the word is, just without, it's not an intelligent being. It's more of like a force maybe that we're tapping into. That's kind of where I've landed.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just explained exactly where I am. I would even take it a step further, and I don't know if I would mention it now. I watched something on Netflix recently about, oh God, I don't know if I want to bring this up, about aliens.
Okay.
And it was a phenomenal 6-part series. It just was released a couple of months ago.
Sure.
There is I don't know if I want to bring this up because it'll take us off the topic, but
it's okay.
There's talk about time travel. That we as human beings have come back from the future and we're trying to fix us so we don't kill ourselves in 100, 200, 300, 500 years.
Yeah, interesting.
So there's another whole twist to, and I've talked to other people and people that I look up to, and they agree with me that there's this, and the government is aware of it. The government is a part of it, yada, yada, yada. So I think there's a higher power that's not necessarily intelligent, but it is, you know, growing up, I was taught, like you mentioned before, something about if there's a God, you know, why is there an earthquake that kills 50,000 people in India or something, right? Mm. And I would question these things. If there's a God, why is he punishing those people? Or why are the children being abused, all the horrible tragedies around the world. And somebody once said to me, well, God just gives people free will. You have free will. And I'm like, what kind of an answer is that?
Yeah.
You know, like that's the way they explain how God is allowing these things to happen. We have free will.
Yeah. It's a cop-out. To me, it's a cop-out because I always compare it to what the Bible says, right? The Bible is like, he's like our father. Cool. So let's run with that then. Like, on what planet is a parent going to let one child kill another or one child abuse their other child? Like, you just don't do it. You're going to intervene. Any loving parent's going to do that.
And I'm going to say that is why, and this is just me sharing some of my deconstruction of my beliefs. I don't believe that if there is a higher power, that there's a hell either for that exact same reason. I'm thinking, I think hell was created by these religions to control people, because I'm thinking, I know how I love my children. And there is not anything my children could do where I would want them to burn and suffer and be tortured for eternity. I'm thinking, even if one of my children committed murder, I would still love them and go visit them in prison. I would not be happy with what they did, but I wouldn't want them to be tortured and tormented for the rest of their lives. So I don't believe that there is a hell. I think hell is used to control people. Yeah, it's a fear tactic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So one thing I'll say too, because people listening probably are familiar, but like Jehovah's Witnesses actually don't believe in hell either.
Right.
It's specifically, they're like, it's not in the Bible. It's a made up thing. which is that their kind of way of being like answering that question. But in reality, like it doesn't matter, right? It's kind of like, okay, you torture someone for eternity or they're dead for eternity. Like what's the big difference here, right? Like right. if you, again, you just take it back to a parent, like, no, like they don't want their child to die forever just because, you know, they didn't do something the way they wanted them to do it. You know, I think to me, like when I look at like, I always just, you know, it's like, I just call it this Wi-Fi theory. When I think about it, to me, it explains a lot. And it also explains like tragedies, right? It explains bad things in the sense that like, you know, if let's say, let's say if I didn't, okay, like, okay, perfect example. If you're going to like call 911, right? But you don't have a cell signal, like, but you don't even know what a cell signal is, right? People go like, oh my right. gosh, I was punished, right? Like this bad thing happened to me. Why would this happen to me? And then that person called 911 and they got help. Like, oh, like it's confusing to you. But if you understand what cell signals are, you're just like, bro, you just didn't have a signal. Like that's all it was. Like it wasn't like purposeful.
Right.
There wasn't any meaning behind it. You just didn't have a cell signal or like you didn't know that you could call 911, right? Like that's really all it is. And so for me, like, again, this is all just a theory. But it's right. a way for me to kind of, you know, justify certain things, like bad things that you see happening. But also, like, see, it never made sense to me where, like, someone would be like, oh, yeah, I was praying and this thing happened. And you're like, bro, like, this person's over here getting raped and God, like, right. you know, gave you $100 to pay your bills. Like, come on. Like, that's just, yeah. like, that doesn't fucking make any sense. And it makes you no. feel like what that person's life is not important, but yours is so important that he's going to give you $100. Like, that just doesn't make any sense, you know? But that's why I say, I feel like, okay, if it is something that is not intelligent, that doesn't have, like, it's just a force, it's some sort of energy that we're tapping into, then it kind of explains that. It's like, okay. Yeah. If those things happen to those people, maybe it's simply because they didn't know how to tap into this. And this person, things are working out for them because they knew how to tap into it. And I don't know what that is. But I know I've experienced it myself and I've seen both ends of the spectrum. Really bad things happen, but also coincidences that I'm like, that is way like just like we're talking like seven layers of coincidences happening for things to work out, right? Not just like, oh, I happen to be thinking about this and this one little thing happened. This tiny little synchronicity. No, we're talking like layers of things. You're like, oh my gosh, like even one of those things not happening and this would not have worked out the way I was, you know, intending. And it did.
Right.
You know? So anyway, yeah, that's the way I justify it in my head.
Josh, I have a question for you that will start to begin to wrap up.
Sure.
And I'm asking a very personal question, but yeah. because of your anonymity and nobody knows who you are, I hope you can answer it.
Sure.
So you have a wife and you have some, I think you said you have children.
No, we don't have kids.
Oh, I thought you said you had children. Okay. Are you going to have children? Is that something?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. That's all right. Good. So what would you teach them? And are you and your wife on the same page with this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's address that first. So my wife and I now are on the same page. That was kind of complicated for us because I felt like every step of the way I was kind of ahead of her. Like I was the one who kind of started questioning things and like moving in that direction before she did. And like I told you guys in my first marriage, that was what ended it, was me saying, me still believing and being like, oh, you don't believe anymore? I'm done. Right.
Right.
And so I definitely was worried about that this time because I was the one who was questioning things and not believing. So I was worried about that. And it was kind of a dance that we had to do. And I talk about it a little bit. In my book. But now we're definitely on the same page. But to be clear, this is the part that's kind of funny about it, is we technically are still Jehovah's Witnesses. Like we haven't been disfellowshipped. We haven't like had our names removed or anything like that. There are still people who like think that we believe it, which I think is tough for me. Like I don't like that. I don't like people thinking I still believe it, but we are at a point where like, how can I describe it? Like everyone's journey looks different and there's no like right or wrong way. And I think that has kind of been the case for us where she realizes, okay, I like if it were up to me, well, I would say like 90%, I'm 90% of the way of being like, oh yeah, I could be totally out and have everyone know that I don't believe it. But for her, she's not ready for that. And so we kind of are like, okay, how do we do this then? Right. So when I wrote my book and I post on social media, I do it under the pen name. And, you know, we haven't technically been disfellowshipped yet because we still have immediate family members who we don't know if they would cut us out of their lives, and we don't want that, right? So that's kind of where, where we are. But when it comes to like, when we have kids, what we're going to teach them, we both are on, like, we're 100% on the same page as far as beliefs go. We don't believe any of the JW stuff. Neither of us would ever go back to it. You know, we celebrate holidays. We just don't post about it. It's so like, we're definitely on the same page as far as that goes. So what I would teach my kids, to preface this, in my book, right, the title of the book, Jehovah's Fucking Witnesses, feels very like, oh, I'm angry and I want to just rip on these people. But the subtitle is A Book for Adults About Religious Trauma, Mental Health, and How to Move On. Because I really feel like we've been able to get to that point, right? Despite the fact that, okay, people don't know. Like, I don't think about this every day, quite honestly. Like, when I post on social media, that's the only time I think about it. The rest of my time, like, I'm just living my life and I'm happy and everything's good.
Right.
And I want to help other people get to that point too. So for me, like, I've spent a lot of time thinking, how can I help people? And also, what do I think about life? Or like, what is important and what is it that I want to pass on? Like, what message do I have for other people, but also for when we have kids? And to me, there's two really big things. I believe it's about being 100% yourself. I think the way that I was raised, I was told who I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to believe, what was supposed to be important to me. And after leaving, I realized, oh, that's not the case. Some of those things are me, but some of them are not. And I have had to spend a lot of time thinking about what's important to me. And so one of the things that's really important for me to pass on to my kids is to always be 100% yourself. The other part of it is, for me, it's about like reaching your potential. So not only like embracing who you are, but really leaning into it. And essentially, like, for me with my kids, like, I want to do everything I can to support them to become like everything they want to be. Because again, that was another thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. We're very much like held back because you don't want to get too involved in the world, right? You want to be careful of worldly influence. And in my book too, like towards the end, right, when I talk about how to move on, I have like a bunch of little tips in there and things that I think would be helpful for people.
I have a question that,
sure.
I don't know, again, how to approach this. You said you celebrate holidays. So let's take Christmas, for example.
Sure.
I tactically don't celebrate it anymore, in the sense, when I was growing up and as you know, Christmas is supposedly the birth of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It has become now more of a financial marketing thing where sure. Christmas is so people exchange gifts around Christmas and commercialized. And while I will still give gifts to my grandchildren, it's not a religious thing for me. Mm-hmm. Is that what you, so when you have children, you would celebrate Christmas or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah, and we definitely look at it from that same perspective.
Like, right. Okay.
You're not looking at it from like celebrating this in any way.
You're just doing it because it's a traditional thing now in America or worldly, and just like Easter. Easter means nothing to me. But if my family gets together and wants to have a ham and, yes. and I'm invited, I'm going to come. You know, but it's not because Jesus rose from the dead. It's because yeah. Right. They have ham and they have sweet potato, whatever.
It's a good home cooked meal, and Andrew's hungry.
It's about the ham.
Yeah, you know, if there's a free meal involved, I'm there. You know, so
yeah, totally. I will say too. So I just wanted to touch on this really quick. I think that anybody who is leaving, you know, a cult or even, you know, a religion or anywhere on the spectrum from religion to cult. It's like I mentioned before that like everybody's journey is going to look a little bit different. For me, I have personally been to a little bit of therapy, but this was actually when I was still a Jehovah's Witness. For me, what helped me the most, I've read so many like personal development books. I've had people in my life that I could talk to and confide in and kind of like talk all of these things out. And so for me, that's one of like the biggest things that I like to offer. So I post a lot on social media. I have my book. And quite honestly, if that's all people want from me, like that would be amazing, right? My hope is that eventually people like will read enough of my content that they don't need me somewhere. They could just go and unfollow and go live their life and be happy, right? But I also offer one-on-one coaching because that for me was the thing that helped the most was personal development and having somebody to be able to talk to. And so for anybody that's looking for help kind of navigating, whether they're like just at the beginning of it and trying to figure out what to do or in the middle of it, or even, even if they're, you know, 10 years out, but they still feel like there's certain things they're holding on to that's affecting other parts of their life. That's kind of my goal, is to help those people.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
And we'll put, if you want, we'll put that in the show notes. We'll put your where to get your book, and we'll put however you want them to contact you for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, just on Instagram, it's Josh B. Morton, and I have the links to everything there.
We have about a minute left or so. Melody, you have any final questions, or Josh?
I just have a final statement. I just want to say, sure, how impressed I am with how far you are in your deconstruction process for only being 4 years out. That's very impressive. It took me 17 years to put a Christmas tree in my house after leaving my religion, which has a lot of parallels to Jehovah's Witness. I was in a cult called the House of Yahweh, and we didn't do the Christmas thing either. But sure, I love how you respect that everybody's process is going to look different. Everybody's journey is going to look different. And I just think that is an amazing part of your story and who you are. And it's a testament to not only you, but your parents, in or out, of how you were raised to respect other people's beliefs and ideas, whether that was totally encouraged. It's certainly something that you have embraced and something that you're carrying on. And I think it's just really impressive. And as a parent, if your mom hasn't told you that she's proud of you, I'm probably old enough to be your mother, and I'm going to say I'm very proud of you. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, it's funny, is my mom is actually the one who's still, she's the one who's still in the religion. So she doesn't know about the book. She doesn't know about anything. I really do hope that one day she will know about it and that she will be proud of it. Yeah. Yeah. So that does mean a lot to hear. And I will say too, the fact that it is so important to me to help other people, it does mean a lot to me. Like what you said, that, cause I never really thought about that, about the timeline of how long. And you're like, wow, it's only been, you know, since 2020 that you started questioning, and you're at this point. It's like, okay, well that kind of validates how I feel, like that I can help other people in their process. So it means a lot.
Oh, for sure. No, okay. It's very impressive.
All right, Josh, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story and your ideology, where you're at today. And I'm very impressed with your progress. And we'll put everything about you and your book in the show notes. And happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate the very deep, enlightening conversation, Josh. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we want to thank Josh once again for coming on the show, for being such a young guy. I got the impression, I think he's in his 30s, but a fairly young guy. Really, really deep conversation, very enlightening. And he's, again, just so far along in his deconstruction process. I'm just really impressed for his age and only being 4 years out that he's this advanced. And I love that he's also offering to help other people that are trying to deconstruct their beliefs as well.
Yeah. And when we started, I was prepared for a JW start to finish journey, like the stories we hear. And Josh took us on a different journey. And I like that. It was very interesting. I agree with you. 4 years out. And the fact that he's still a JW, because he hasn't been, what do they call it, decommissioned or disfellowshipped.
What's the word? He hasn't been officially disfellowshipped.
Right. So technically he's still a member. And I personally would want to be disfellowed, but I know he's got family and he's being anonymous and he doesn't want them to know. I get all that. So
irony.
Kudos to him. So
can you imagine, had the higher ups found out the title of his book, Jehovah's Fucking Witnesses, and he would get disfellowship pretty quick if his real name was out there, right? So we can certainly.
And I bet you there
is an anonymity.
I bet you they're aware of the book, because I'm sure that as these books come out, any cult leader and the ex members write books about him, they know about it. But the fact that he's got a pen name, but Josh, thank you for coming on and doing that. That was amazing.
Yes.
Made me really think.
Yes.
And I learned a lot of things.
A very different interview. I went in a very different direction, but I liked it. Very enjoyable.
It did.
And almost taking it to the next level. And
it did.
yes, we both, I think, really enjoyed just the conversation. Was very enlightening. So we want to thank Josh again for coming on the show. And as always, we want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultimatum. And your support is always greatly appreciated. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you could please just take a moment to rate and review us on platforms such as Apple and Spotify. On Apple, you can give us a written review. On Spotify, you can give written comments on each individual episode. And don't forget to follow, share, and keep listening to all of our latest episodes as well.
You can also connect with us by joining our Facebook group, Cultimatum Podcast, where we dive deeper into these important topics.
And you can find additional, find us also on additional social media platforms, including Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, and Threads.
If you have a personal experience with cult or human trafficking that you'd like to share, reach out to us at cultimatumpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you happen to be an ex-cult member and need any additional support, you can consider joining the Cult Escape and Recovery Support Group on Facebook.
You can also check out my other podcast, the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast. If you'd like to help us with the cost of maintaining this podcast, you can show your support through Buy Us a Cup of Coffee, and the link is in our show notes. Every bit helps in our mission to spread awareness about cults and human trafficking.
As always, stay safe, stay informed, and remember, you are not alone.